Hello and welcome to the Daughters of Charity Services podcast, where we take you to the front line of UK charities and explore how to live out the 400-year Vincentian charism to meet the needs of marginalised and underprivileged people in our society today. I'm your host, Rhianna. Thank you for joining me. It's Challenge Poverty Week here in England and Wales. And on the podcast to talk to us today is Mark Turnbull, who is the Chief Executive Officer at the Manchester-based charity Out There. Out There provides practical and emotional support to families of prisoners. Mark, it's great to have you with us. Tell us, how are the families you're supporting at this current time, especially with the cost of living crisis?
So obviously it's been quite a difficult few years completely for the families we support. We've no sooner come out of COVID and all the restrictions that were placed on the family members that were in prison and the restrictions on visits and everything else, to getting back to some degree of normality. And I say some degree because that's been quite slow. And now we've entered this, what seems like a next crisis of cost of living and the rising costs of everything. And I think Out There, the first thing to sort of say is that all the families we support are very diverse. Mm-hmm. So we have, remaining partners, families on the outside with young children, single parents. But we also have family members who are older and living alone.
Yeah.
And kind of dealing with being separated from their partner or family members who are maybe serving longer sentences. And all of them, kind of at the moment in conversations that we're having with them, are kind of reporting some of the things that we're hearing in the news about the impact of the cost of living. So day-to-day costs like food, energy, etc., all presenting challenges and problems for those we support.
Yeah.
Also, the big things, you know, that people don't have to buy on a daily basis, but are really important to family life. So I think the first thing to sort of recognise is that in some ways our families are no different than a lot of families, that they are being impacted by the cost of living crisis and the things that are going on. But there are very specific things, as you can imagine, in relation to having a family member in prison that create extra challenges.
Yeah, those specific challenges that the families of prisoners are having, is that in relation to things like travel, having a family member, you know, missing from a financial perspective?
Yeah. That's a pretty good summary of the sort of issues that can arise. I mean, I think the first thing to say is that, you know, having a family member in prison immediately has an impact on their overall household income, whether that is through the loss of earnings, you know, the person that was previously in the household and the job and the money that they brought into the household. But also it can be around recalibration of benefits, you know, the entitlement of the household. If the household has been on some kind of benefits before the person's going to gone into prison, that can take a while then to sort out. Obviously, the benefits will stop. Mm-hmm. And any kind of adjustment and if you like, recalculation of benefits entitlement, mm-hmm, can take weeks and can be a really anxious period for families. So definitely, fundamentally, that kind of change in the household income and a loss of income has a massive impact on families. And often a lot of the families we support are already, you know, not the wealthiest of individuals. They're often families that are already on low incomes or haven't got a lot of disposable income. So that loss of income can have a real impact.
Oh, I can imagine. It's just added stress onto what's already a stressful situation. What kind of emotional effects is that having on families and children?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the, if you like, the things about this notion of poverty, is that it actually has very complex impacts on families, not just in terms of the actual material financial loss, but the additional stress, that causes emotionally and can have physical impacts. Let's be right and understand that people are having to make difficult decisions about heating and eating and activities, and that has both an emotional and a physical impact. I think one of the difficulties as well is that often families are kind of powerless to be able to do anything about it. So if you're left, say as the sole carer of children, say you're the remaining partner at home, and therefore you have to take greater responsibility for looking after children, those choices about working and what you can do in terms of going to work and the amount of hours you can do and the sort of jobs you can do are limited. So whereas some people, can potentially go out and make different choices about the jobs they do or anything else, that becomes even more difficult when potentially you've got a partner in prison and or a family member in prison, and you're having to make decisions for the wider family. And that cuts across kind of all different age levels and demographics of the families of prisoners. So it could be that someone's a single parent now, looking after a couple of children, or it could be that someone's actually a grandparent, a kind of kinship carer for children for the first period of time. And you can imagine adjusting to them financial costs when you're older or when you're on a pension or receiving other kinds of benefits can be really, really difficult. And as I was saying at the start, it's not just the sort of day-to-day costs, it's some of the bigger costs that can present real problems for family members.
It's scary, really, with how things are going at the moment with the cost of living, how people are going to manage to get through this winter. How do you even go about trying to support people through this really difficult time?
Well, I think a number of commentators have kind of said about this that it is actually really difficult at the moment because, whereas in the past we might be able to pinpoint a particular thing someone can do to reduce their outgoings or to look at their benefit entitlement and everything else, at the moment, a lot of people feel like they're doing everything they can already in terms of costs and to managing their income and are in receipt of benefits. But we do obviously, as a local community-based organisation, work with other fantastic charities and organisations across Greater Manchester to ensure that we can support people and help people. So we do have connections to local food banks and are able to support in terms of that. We have on occasion assisted people with utility payments or making contact with their utility provider or their landlord to help with some of their housing and heating costs. And we also have good links into schemes to help with some of the bigger items that can really be a drain on our family's income. So, for example, we've helped with school uniforms over the summer. We have connections into organisations that can help with white goods. So a classic example is when the washing machine goes or when the children get bigger and people need extra beds. Bed poverty is becoming an increasing issue. And we're fortunate that we're in a well-connected environment and a good environment in Greater Manchester to be able to work with other organisations to help them. But all that still, we can do all that. But it is as well the day-to-day costs of actually supporting a family member in prison. It's and they're not things we can easily do something about. Assisting someone who's actually in prison in terms of costs of communication, keeping in touch with family, any needs or wants that they might want while in prison, all to fall on family members on the outside. And why it's often called a hidden sentence is that people don't realize these difficulties and the challenges that family members face. And family members can end up spending a significant amount of their income actually just based on the fact that they have someone in prison and are having to go and visit and support them. And so, for instance, the cost of phone calls and stuff like that are higher from prisons, and it just places an additional pressure on family members. And you kind of alluded right at the start that that it is a bigger poverty issue here, because of course having a family member in prison and those choices you have to make means then that you miss out in so many other ways. So one of the reasons why we do family activities at half term or in the summer is because people do have to make those choices between, you know, do I support this or do I, you know, control this amount of spending in my finances? And does that mean then we can't go to the beach in the summer or we're not able to take part in half-term activities? So a lot of the work out there is about enabling people to still be able to take part in some of that stuff. And for want of a better word, to do some of the nice things that enable on the outside to still have a productive family life.
Yeah, I know you've mentioned before that actually families end up really becoming good friends and supporting each other, which is so invaluable because they know what they're each going through, something that a lot of people, maybe other friends that aren't in that community, probably don't fully understand exactly what it is that they're going through. So it's really lovely that they have that place that they can come to get that kind of support.
Absolutely. I mean, it's that thing about people not being isolated, having other community members to talk to. And, you know, it is about those wider impacts of poverty, of which isolation and not being able to participate is one. So when we work with a family and the family support workers who work with a family, we try to look at all those issues in the round.
Yeah.
Best support we can in a very holistic way, for want of a better word, to try and support them in the best way possible. So we can't often do anything about, you know, the sentence that's being served or where the person serving the sentence or what's going on all the time within the prison, but we can help a family on the outside and help them to kind of deal with some of the changes that imprisonment brings.
Yeah. Is there anything that you think the government can change or do more to support families of prisoners at this time, going through this current crisis where costs are just extortionate and families are still having to make all of these additional payments that most people don't even have to think about?
I think part of the challenge at the moment, and this won't be, you know, sounds strange to anyone who is working in any number of policy areas at the moment, is the lack of continuity of people with responsibility for prisons.
So there's
always a lot of change, and particularly prisons and the wider context isn't necessarily always high on the political agenda. I think, you know, if we do get that stability in the short to medium term, you know, I think the work that's done by a lot of organisations nationally in terms of, you know, the negative impact of imprisonment and alternatives needs to be listened to. You know, actually, do we need to keep sending people to prison at the rate we do? Because it does have these knock-on impacts, and there is an impact on families. And really what we should be doing is looking at the alternatives. But then when people who are in prison is considering then the cost of these things and whether anything can be done about communication, phone calls, people keeping in touch, you know, wages within the prison system to enable to become less of a financial burden for people on the outside. So that when we do get to some potential future stability, they would be good things for the government to consider in terms of what they could do.
You mentioned it is what they call a hidden sentence, and it absolutely is, isn't it? Because they are being punished in more ways than one. It's emotional, it's financial, it's social, and perhaps it's not widely seen because they're not the ones that are actually in prison.
Absolutely. And it's why you know, as well, for instance, we now do the work we do with children and young people and supporting them, directly working with schools across Greater Manchester and offering the family activities we do. Because what we're trying to effectively do is, you know, it's very difficult having a family member in prison and life is never the same. But if we can offer some community-based support for those individuals, what we're hoping in some small way is to reduce some of the impact of those negative aspects of having someone in prison. And that's why we continue the work that we do.
Yeah. How many people are working at the centre now and how many volunteers do you have?
There's currently 5 full-time members of staff. And we have about 8 to 10 volunteers at any one time. Obviously, that changes. And they're involved in everything from supporting children and young people in schools, offering emotional support to families over the telephone or potentially sometimes home visits, and offering support around transportation for those who are having particularly difficulties, perhaps with public transport or accessing the prisons in normal ways. So we've got a small but good team of staff and volunteers here to offer support across Greater Manchester.
Yeah, it's a great team, absolutely great team. And how many families are you supporting now?
We're currently supporting just over 60 families.
Wow.
At any one time, it's about 150, 160 family members. Last year, we supported over 100 families, about 300 family members. And people come to us, you know, at different times, or they might come to us for a particular piece of help and then we don't hear from them again, or they might stay with us for a long period of time, particularly if someone's on remand or they're going through the sentencing process or there's particular challenges or difficulties at home. Yeah. So each family is very individual, and the support that we offer is very tailored towards what that family needs and the support that they want to receive when they contact us or another professional contact us.
Yeah. Mark, we really appreciate your time today and thank you.
It was good to chat during Challenge Poverty Week.
You've been listening to the Daughters of Charity Services podcast. To get all the latest news from our charities, check out the links and resources in the show notes, including how to sign up to our newsletter. I'm Rihanna. I hope to catch you at our next episode. Bye-bye for now.